everybody. Welcome to the fifth episode of Ozcast and the first episode back from the RT Oz and Armageddon Expo. As ever, I'm joined by Leprechaun and Cool Katie, as well as our special guest for this week, Indie Fairy, a.k.a. Ainsley Louise. This week, we'll be piecing together the events of the Armageddon Expo and the RT Oz fan event before chatting to Indie Fairy about the Sunbury Boiler House Theater's production of Hair that she'll be starring in. So, how is everybody?
Pretty good.
Woohoo!
Awesome!
Sounds good. So, Katie, you not only went to the Melbourne Armageddon Expo, but you also went down to New Zealand for the other Armageddon Expo. How was that?
It was awesome. The Armageddon Expo in Auckland is 10 bazillion times bigger than the Melbourne one. So while Melbourne only has, for those who went to Melbourne Armageddon Expo, there's one big room that everything's sort of in and you just walk around. In Auckland, where Armageddon actually started, it originated from New Zealand, it's a bunch of different rooms. I think all up there was 6 doors, I think, you could go in, and everything was separated. So everything was a lot bigger than what it was in Melbourne and Sydney, as opposed to, because they had selected areas for everything. So they had paintball and archery, they had wrestling, a commando, what are they called, the drill courses.
An obstacle course,
they had
all
the gaming. Yeah, the obstacle course, that's right. They had gaming, so we got to play Assassin's Creed, and so the one coming out. Justin played Halo Anniversary. What else did we play? There was Modern Warfare 3, Mass Effect 3.
That's
that was really cool. Yeah, and they had that there. That was really cool. There were so many people in that one, just waiting to play that game.
Was it like the multiplayer demo, or what was it?
No, it was the actual... it was single player. It was a campaign that people were playing.
I really hate you guys now. Like,
you should hate me. No. It was really cool. The line for Rooster Teeth was huge, but the panel for Rooster Teeth there was really, really good. There was a lot of people. The auditorium that it was in was really, really good, and it was just well done, I think.
Fair enough. And what differed from the panel at the New Zealand Expo in comparison to the Melbourne one?
It's difficult for me to say because I went to the second panel, because the first one, I don't know if everyone knows. What happened with the first one is that there was a huge line of people waiting to get into the Rooster Teeth panel in Melbourne for the first one that they had at 11 a.m. on the Saturday. And what happened is somehow, I don't know, I think it was a staff member of Armageddon. Am I right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway.
Yes.
I was a staff member. So that person decided to open up one of the side doors to let people in faster. And what happened is people from the back of the line, so people who hadn't been waiting as long, went in through that door and got in before the people at the front of the line did. So Rooster Teeth had to come in. Yeah, sure. So Rooster Teeth had to come in the next day at 9 a.m. and that's the one that I went to. So it was a lot smaller, it went a lot faster, and apparently it wasn't as good as the 11 a.m. one because there was more people, there was more interaction, and they sort of put a bit more effort into that one because they weren't hungover from our
day. Well, that's just fair enough.
But I mean, in comparison, I got to see 2 episodes of Red vs. Blue before they came out on the internet, and got to see the Drunk Tank animation. Yeah. 2 new ones, and I think it was just fun because there was a lot of people and we were all spread out, we were comfortable, and I think that the New Zealand one for me was better than the Melbourne one because, you know, they put, not that they put more effort into it, but they, I suppose, were refreshed rather than coming over from a 24-hour round trip and being out all night and so on and so forth, so...
No, that's understandable. And just going back a bit, Sean, when you said you were guilty of going in from like the back of the line, just sort of sneaking into the auditorium, you had a gold pass for that entire expo, so you had a license to be a dick.
I had a silver pass, and a silver pass I figured out by the time I went to line up for Kevin Conroy, I found out that it only works for the booths, not for anything else. Or I might have worked for the maybe for the panel. It does work for the panel. Yeah, it says.
Yeah, for the panels it does.
Yeah.
So I stand by my statement.
Yes. Okay. Well.
No one should give Sean the right to do.
There was a group of us who followed me into the auditorium as well. So we're all kind of guilty. Also, I'd like to point out that Katie was in bed during the 11 a.m. one. Like,
God damn it! I was hoping you would point that out.
That was a key part of the story. Like, she did very well.
That's why.
seeing everyone that she wasn't there and missed out, but no, she was in Denver.
I wasn't one of the people who was dedicated at the front of the line. I was actually across the road in my hotel bed.
Yes.
It was like scene one, panel in the mall, but no, I went to the 9 a.m. one. I had to be up pretty early to go.
No, that's pretty good.
That was good. Like, we could sit in the front row and everything.
For that one, I was in bed until 11 a.m. So we're even.
I think I actually arrived at the expo at about 2 p.m. on the Saturday.
Wow. I think for the 11 a.m. one, I probably would have been on the train. But for the 9 a.m. one on the Saturday, I was definitely asleep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I missed the 11 a.m. panel because I was having trouble finding parking.
What I'm getting from this, we all suck at being Rooster Teeth fans.
Hey,
we all have better things
to
now.
Well, to be fair, you know, I didn't sleep that weekend and still went to the 9 a.m. panel the following day.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Yeah,
also,
actually.
Also, we spent, $2,500 to go and see them. That, I don't know.
Yeah.
Being good fans. Just saying.
It's funny how that happened, actually. Like, it was incredible. You know, the hotel was expensive. Flights, oh my God, flights for me was so expensive because the flights that I took down to Melbourne were the way I rebooked from the arts gathering that I was meant to go to, but I couldn't go to because I was moving. And so my flights were like $500 and something. And that's incredible for domestic flights because I could pay less than that to go to Perth and back, you know, which is, you know, the other side of the country. And to think of how much that costed the entire round trip, how much we spent while we were there, everything that I bought, you know, for the arts, the Rooster Teeth stuff, it was just, like, it's just incredible. And I didn't even go to the expo, you know, I had to buy my tickets out the door because I didn't pre-book them. Like, the only thing that I'd planned was nothing that I was doing personally, if that makes sense.
Yeah, right. I think I spent $420 and... If I try and recall what I spent money on, I can't really tell.
Well, Bo had a bar tab, and I think he spent... Well, it was under 300, I think, but it was like close to 270.
No, he said 293 bar tab was...
293. But he didn't spend a lot of that. Like, a lot of that money wasn't on his drinks. It was on edibles. Yeah, he was getting everyone drinks.
What were your favorite moments from the Armageddon Expo itself?
Shotgun going last.
Oh, damn it! Oh, God!
Sean. Probably, I would have to say, the Saturday night when we sort of, like, when I walked past the line of people that were ready to go in, and I just sort of, like, realized all at once, like, what we were doing and how awesome it was and how it's happened. And it's about to happen imminently, and I was mega excited for it. And I'm pretty sure I just stood there for like 10 minutes looking at that line. I don't know. I just not paying any attention. It was just a whole sudden flush of what's happening and whatever. And then I don't know. We went and helped set up or whatever, and I obviously got my first drink. I started early.
Yeah, you stood there for 10 minutes in awe instead of going to
awe.
Everyone else.
No, well, I'd already set up my GH, the whole internet thing. I fixed that all up already. And
his contribution had been done.
My contribution was done. So, yeah. Just, I thought that, well, then, from then onwards was my favorite part. The whole Saturday night was perfect. I loved it.
Fair enough.
Does this mean I have to say mine now?
Yes. Preferably something that will act as a tearjerker for Katie, because this is turning into something amusing.
I can go. Do you want me to go?
No, I can go. I don't know. I can't really think of... I'll probably think of one that's better than this later on when it doesn't matter anymore. But...
you can have a do-over. It's fine.
Okay, good. I suppose one of my favorites would be... when the Rooster Teeth staff first walked in, I was standing there waiting to greet everyone, and they said, "Oh, hey Ainsley, what's up?" And I was standing there in this dress, and, you know, I was all done up, and I felt pretty and everything, and then Bernie comes up to me and says, "Hey, Ainsley, how are you? You look beautiful," and gave me a hug, and then Brandon's like, "Hey, Ainsley, you look great," and then Joel's standing there, and I was like, "Hey, Joel, how are you?" He's like, really have to pee.
Typical Joel right there.
Oh my god.
And
did
I'm like,
to the toilet?
That's, no, I didn't know where they were, so I was like, wow, this is awkward.
Oh my god. Bad coordinated, Katie. Oh my goodness, that is hilarious. That is so typical Joel.
It really is.
Sean, I think you should rest.
Alright, fine. I suppose from RTOs itself, my favorite moment was definitely when we were just all bowling with, like, Bernie and Joel. That was just hilarious. Like, no one on in my lane with Joel could actually bowl to save their lives except for Rihanna. Rhiannon?
Rihanna.
Yeah, so could I. I mean, it wasn't even my turn, it was the staff turn. I was like, you know, doing a strike, but every other time it was like either I'd knock down six or get a gutter ball.
Yeah, I would say that would be my favorite moment too, if my first bowl while everyone was watching me wasn't a gutter ball, and then I'm sure that would have been a good time, but then my nine other bowls were also gutter balls. I don't know, I think I got like 48 points or something ridiculously low.
Anyway,
I even got the whole what the fuck look from Bernie, but yeah.
Actually, Bernie, funny that, Bernie won the entire competition.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. He was doing
crazy,
very well.
Yeah, it was like 158 or something like that.
Mm. And LeBashon, I think we already established in Sydney earlier this year that you are a worse bowler than me.
Yes, that is very well established. Ainsley kicked my ass last time that we bowled.
Accidentally, I get up and I'm like, I can't bowl. Oh, I just got a strike. What?
Yeah, no, yeah. So in other words, you can't trust Ainsley because she lies about her bowling skills.
So,
yes,
when... it's okay. When we were all bowling, it was just very fun because, as I was saying, Rihanna was the only person on our team who could bowl. At first, Joel was doing well, but then, like, about halfway through, he just starts throwing his ball into the gutter because he's drunk.
Yeah.
Because people just started giving him free drinks. And so, very fun. And, like, also the photo I got with Joel that I put up on my my Red vs. Blue gallery, where I'm just sort of doing this geeky smile and point towards him, I actually was doing an imitation of, like, did any of you ever see Mulan as a kid?
Yes. I love
Mulan.
Okay, so you remember the Emperor's Assistant?
Yeah, I can start singing it.
Please don't.
Anyway, but yeah, you remember the Emperor's Assistant?
Yes.
Yep. So you remember how, like, in his tent he has a photo of himself with, or like, it's not, it's either a photo or it's a painting with himself with the Emperor. He's like, you know, geeking out and pointing at him. And I was trying to do an imitation of that with that, but but then, like, just the general banter as we were all bowling was just hilarious, and also just at one point where everyone just decided to bag me for just being a terrible bowler. Like, I turn around and, like, Bernie's giving me shit as well, even though it's not his game. Just at one point, like, I got up to on my turn to bowl, and Joel comes up to me before I, you know, go to have a run at it, and he says, "Now, remember, this time, knock down all the pins." Okay? All the pins? All the pins. So not just some of the pins. No, all of them. Okay, fine.
Grab your shoulder and look at
Yeah, so he, like, he grabs my shoulder, sort of, like, you know, crouches down and sort of, like, make sure he's directing this point to me and everything. So, and, like, I say, yeah, okay, yeah, so all the pins. I got it. Yeah, sure. I throw it, knock down some of them. I turn around and there's Joel. He's still sort of standing up, shaking his hands about, saying, "Not what we talked about." So, he decided...
You're not doing it right.
Yeah, basically, yeah. So, like, Hunter's turn as well, so he decides to do the same thing to him. So, knock down all the pins! Hunter's just kind of very calm about it, because he's been giving me shit the entire night about my bowling as well. So, he goes up, but he throws a gutter ball, and, you know, Joel just does the whole "not what we talked about" thing again. So, finally, it's Joel's turn. Like, I go over to Hunter, or Slayer, as he's known on the side, and I say, you know, he's probably going to screw this up, so when he does, do you want to just do it? And, you know, Hunter says, yeah, sure. So we both stand up. So as soon as Joel, just on cue, throws the ball into the gutter, he turns around, sees us, just immediately in sync, saying, "Not what we talked about." So he sort of slumps his shoulders, hangs his head, and he's walking on over to us, and he just finally says to us, "I'm sorry, the floor was shaking." It's not my fault.
Oh my goodness.
Oh god.
But yeah, that was probably
that
my favorite
one
moment.
After the other.
Seriously, Bernie and him going at it the whole time. Like, there was a competition between those two guys. That was hilarious, I gotta say. Like, it'd be like taking turns of a strike and then a shit go, and like Bernie would like, it's like Tim would bowl a shit one and Bernie would be like, oh Tim, that's not very good, man, and then Tim would bowl an awesome one and Bernie would bowl a shit one and Tim would do the same right back at him. And then the whole, in the final frame when Tim got 3 strikes in a row and beat Bernie with that, Bernie just, he couldn't shut up about it. He was just constantly ranting about that all through Sunday as well. We were at the booth, he kept ranting about it to Tim.
Oh yeah, but that's also because Strutter showed up to rub it in his face.
Yeah, with like 12 DVDs that he wanted signed, and the shirts for Lynn that he wanted signed as well. So it literally emptied his bag out onto the table to get signed. And this is like, there's a massive line, like 10 miles long. Yeah, like literally 10 miles
yeah,
long.
Yeah, like,
and,
I was
we
in
the
front
last
of
people.
I was in, sorry,
signed.
I was in front of Tim. Yeah, and I'm like, oh man, I feel bad because I like, I want to get Joel to do my Joelception photo, and I want to get a photo with them, and I wanted to get something else. It was like maybe 2 things or 3 things, and I'm like, oh, I feel bad. And then Tim's like,
yeah,
empty
and don't you
entire
like
DVD collection.
I so says he's like individually taking them out of his bag, like one by one, as slowly as possible.
It's like a clown car.
Yeah, that's
right. I just loved Bernie's reaction to just when Strutter sort of, you know, said, hey, you remember last night when we were bowling? And Bernie just said, yeah, yeah, turns to Joel, this fucking kid knocks me out of the competition. What the fuck?
Yeah, like seriously ranting on about it. It was hilarious.
Yeah, he's just cussing him out as he's ranting as well. It was hilarious.
This is all happening, and I get, like, the recording for Mary, and I take, like, Cherie's picture and stuff, and then the guard comes around and says to Bernie that they should do, like, no more pictures and just signing.
Oh, that was so annoying.
That was pretty annoying. But we were literally the last people to get pictures and, like, videos and whatever.
Yeah, well, yeah, I got cut off, anyway. Like, because of that. I was about to ask Bernie to do that whole interview I talked to him about at RTOs the night before when that guy just cut me off in mid-sentence. I was just like, fuck!
Too. Because, yeah, you were right behind me after I took Cherie's picture and we were about to leave. And then, yeah, you were right behind me. Yeah, wow.
Yeah, so I still have to try and get in touch with Bernie to actually reschedule that, because he just – I talked to Bernie on his way out, and he just sort of gave me his Skype address and just sort of said, yeah, get in touch with me through, like, Twitter or something. So I've been kind of waiting for them to get back to Texas. The problem is I don't know when they are or if they aren't right now.
They're back now. Yeah.
They are? Okay, so I should get to work on that.
Because Brandon was on the latest podcast, and the other guys took that day off, whereas Brandon came into work for some reason.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, they're back now.
So, Katie's story. Sorry.
No, that's okay. You said originally you asked favorite of Armageddon. So I'll tell my favorite of Armageddon and my favorite of RTOZ, but I imagine, are we elaborating on RTOZ a bit later, or?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this was supposed to just sort of be Armageddon Expo stories, but then we just kind of melded into RTOZ somehow.
Oh,
so.
My bad.
Well,
sorry.
It's fine.
I think for us being Spartan volunteers, RTOZ was Armageddon. Like, that was the reason that we were there, and that is probably what we spent the most time on, so...
I can tell you my favorite Armageddon moment when Katie's done.
Yeah, I can help tell the story out of order as well.
You can tell it now.
When I showed up on the Saturday and had some difficulty getting my damn armband on at the door, the second I got inside, I saw Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy, who is these two cosplayers that I know. Harley Quinn is Elise Archer from Sydney, and Poison Ivy is Evelyn Eleanor from Brisbane, I think she is. And they're two of, like, the greatest cosplayers in the world, because they're amazing. And I'd been looking forward to seeing them there, because I'd met Harley before, but I hadn't met Poison Ivy yet. And I saw them, and straight away I was like, oh, Sean, quick, can you hold my bag and get a photo for me with them? And he was like, yeah, okay. And so then I was chatting with them, and I was like, hey... Yes, other Sean, Nightwolf.
Yeah, you wouldn't be so kind.
Because Left Sean wouldn't be coming to meet me at the door. Get stuffed. And, well, you wouldn't. You weren't there.
I was probably in bed.
Whatever. Whatever. And, yeah, so I got a photo with those two girls. And then I was like, hey, I've got this friend. Well, friend, you know, meaning Brandon Farmahini, not actually my friend, whatever, who really likes Harley Quinn, but he's working in a booth, so he can't come out of the booth to see you. Do you mind if you come over? And she was like, yeah, okay. So it was just, you know, slow progress getting up to the Rooster Teeth booth. And so on the way, you know, they were stopping to do photos. And I mean, this isn't my favorite moment. It was sort of just like, after all this, you know, I just went and sort of sat down and had lunch with Harley and Ivy. But when they went to get a photo in the DeLorean that was on display, everyone's seen Back to the Future, right? Like how Marty McFly.
Everyone except Katie.
Bangs his head on the door as he gets out of the DeLorean.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so Harley hops out, and then Poison Ivy, who's supposed to be the graceful one, stands up and bangs her head on the door. I'm like, oh, Poison Ivy hit a Marty McFly. Oh. But
that is the most awesome line ever.
But no, hanging out with those two girls was probably the best Armageddon moment for me.
Oh, that makes good.
Yeah, man.
Okay, sure. So enough stalling. Your story.
Okay. I want to know Leprechaun's favorite Armageddon moment.
Uh-huh. Afterwards.
Yeah, afterwards. I want to be out of order and inconvenient.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. My favorite Armageddon moment, probably, I had to, the reason I made a joke about taking Joel to the toilet before Ainsley is because I had to do that. we're coming back in from their photo with the 101st Legion, but to the Star Wars cosplayers, how they had the,
I can't believe
501st.
You didn't tell me
what's happening. I'm so sorry, Sean. Did you see the pictures?
Yeah, I saw the pictures. That's right. I got home and was like, what the hell? When did this happen?
I was there. I should have told. I'm really sorry. I was too caught up. I'm sorry. I was acting as Rooster Teeth PR to get them there because the lady who played Princess Leia's... okay, you've got to help me out here, Sean. Princess Leia's... That guy who keeps her... Bounty Hunter.
Boba Fett.
Her name's Kelly. No, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway...
You're getting all characters mixed up right now.
I don't. All I know is Princess Leia's bounty hunter. Kelly, the lady who had been coordinating the Rooster Teeth staff to be in that photo with me, she had just asked me, you know, to sort of liaise between them. Anyway, so I organised for them to be in that photo, and then when they were coming back in from it, Joel was like, do you know where the toilets are? And there were fans everywhere and I knew he'd get lost. So I was like, okay, well, I'll just take you and show you where they are. And I ended up waiting for him. And then as we were coming back, we had to walk in. Mind you, I got a nice learning about the economy. It's really true what they say. He really does talk about it. And
oh,
now
yeah,
I know
does.
That everything sucks and money is terrible and I should never invest in anything. No, that's not true. So we're walking in and Joel didn't have his exhibitor pass. And so I had my wristband on. And as we're walking in, Joel sort of hesitated a bit. And I'm like, no, I'm going to be fine. This guy, you know, it's all right. Don't worry about it. So as I walked in, I had my wristband on and he stops Joel and goes, where's your wristband? Joel's like, I'm an exhibitor and my pass is in there because you're not going in. And Joel's like, but I'm an exhibitor. And then like 10 people behind Joel goes, dude, that's Joel Heyman. That's Caboose. What are you doing? You can't stop Joel Heyman. That's Caboose. It's Red versus Blue guy. Joel, take my pass. Go in, man. Go in. And it was just so funny. I just thought that it was just... And Joel's like, don't worry about it. And I'm like, go, Joel, go. So we just ran away. It was just really funny. The security guard was like, he didn't know what to do because people were yelling at him and Joel was standing there and I was going, just go. Don't worry about him. It was just really funny. And Joel was like,
the guard had a total breakdown is what you're saying. Sort of froze up, was like, oh god, what do I do? Everyone's shouting at me. There's too much pressure for my job. But this isn't what I signed up for.
This guy guy literally ripped his silver badge off from around his neck and just, like, tried to throw it at Joel and said, go in, man, don't worry, I'll buy another ticket, it's okay. So let Joel in. It was just so funny. And I was like, don't worry about it, just go. This guy doesn't know what he's on. It was hilarious. I just thought it was so funny.
Go on, Joel, you can go anywhere without me. Just leave me behind. Take my extra bullets and my health pack and go.
You're the better man. Oh, man, that was just really funny. For RTO, because actually I didn't spend that much time at Armageddon Expo. I only spent maybe a total of 6 hours for the whole weekend. I don't know more, including setup for Kim. Setup and takedown for Kim was probably a couple hours extra. But I really didn't spend that much time at Armageddon at all, which was not very cool because I paid $30 a day or something like that. No, it wasn't that much. $20 a day, I think. $25 to $30. I don't remember. Anyway, it was a lot of money to get in for not pre-buying the tickets.
Yeah, I think it was about $30, as I had to pay for it again.
Yeah, so it was $30 a day. Mm. Like, you had to pay for each day.
Yeah.
Or you could have bought a 2-day pass and spent $38.
You know, I actually asked about that at the counter and whatnot. They said they They said we're only doing single day passes when I went to go buy.
Well, yeah, they said you could only buy the 2 tickets.
Well, the dude sold me the 2-day pass. I must have looked fucking hot that day because he sold me the 2-day passes.
That was the problem with the silver passes and gold passes because they'd gotten lost or something in the mail from Auckland or some crap. So I got like 2 emails saying that I'd have to go. Like, I was actually allowed to go in the Armageddon Expo and then had to go to this office down the right-hand side and had to wait for, like, 10 minutes or so to pick up my silver pass from some desk. And they wanted, like, a printed-out email saying that I had purchased it, and I didn't have that. I just had the email on my phone. So I had to, like, fart-ass around for, like, another 15 minutes just so that they would start believing me that I actually had paid for the silver pass. And then, yeah, finally I got it. It was just a whole lot of persuading and puppy dog eyes and stuff that I had to do.
Look how little I am.
Yeah. I can't be alone in this strange city all by myself without my silver
pass.
I need it. That's why I'm here.
I got it. Like when we went to America, and the lady was like, next time you have to print it out. Do you know, when we went to Melbourne, and even when we went to Auckland, we never printed anything out. We just used our iPhones for everything. And the scanners on all the systems, they pick it up on the iPhone. Like, I don't need to print anything. Thank you. I like the environment.
She was a snobby fucking bitch.
She was an American.
Yeah,
was she?
Hell, yeah. How do you like that? How do you like that, America? Yeah.
I'm right here, you guys.
Oh, wait. American, then you just tweet. Oh!
Oh, snap.
She's probably one of the polite ones.
Yeah. Oh, God. I was telling with Bernie that I was telling on the way back to get him a taxi that time when we were going to Austin and the connecting flight, I wasn't confirmed on it. And I was waiting in line.
That's horrible.
And, like, I keep saying native, African-American women. And one of them walked up to me and she's like, ma'am, why can I ask why you're in line waiting here? Because I'd already overheard a conversation with her that she was over her shift, like she should be going home or something like that. And she walks up to me and she's like, ma'am, you know, can I ask what you're doing in the line? And I'm just like, I was already crying because I was so upset. I had never been in anything like that. And I was just a little bit overwhelmed because I was tired. I just from such a long flight. I was hungry. You know, I didn't have my stuff with me because it was on the other
and
flight.
And you had to deal with me bursting into tears and being hysterical.
I think it was all that I was worried about you guys and if you get there safe and if, ever, you know, you'd get back okay and get to the apartment, whatever. And so I was just a bit overwhelmed. And this lady just, like, comes up to me right in my face and she's like, what are you doing in the line? And I was like, listen here, lady. Not like that, obviously, because I'm not sure anyone. I said, I'm in here because I'm meant to be on a flight to Austin and I wasn't confirmed on it. And so I'm waiting here so that I can find out what I can do because I don't have anywhere to go. And the lady's like, oh, okay then. And she does that little head wobble thing and she's like, don't yell at me. She raised her hand and did that, like, African-American thing, and I was like, really? You know, that's just exactly what I know from TV. It was incredible. That
So what you're saying is that lightened the whole situation, and you just started bursting out laughing at her. You couldn't help but feeling uplifted at how stereotypically hilarious that
whole situation. Horrifying.
I think I was more, where am I? Like, have I just stepped onto a reality TV show? Like, I don't know.
This is also kind of joke, right? Where are the cameras? Okay, you got me. You got me.
What's that Ashton Kutcher thing?
Punked.
Punked.
You just got tomahawked.
No.
Tomahawked.
Family Guy parody of it.
Oh. All right, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so my RTO, my favorite RTOs ever, and I have a couple. I think the first one, the very first one is, I've already spoken about this, and it's also in the summary of the RTOs at event. There's like 3.5 parts. I say 3.5 because the last part is in 2 parts. Is when we set up at the park, I personally couldn't find the area we'd originally organized to be in. And we didn't have enough time because we were organizing a bunch of things beforehand to put up balloons or posters or set people up, which, you know, is a logistical error, so to speak, and we can work on next year. But everyone was sort of sporadically around the park. So I had the first group of people that sort of arrived to where I was. I put up the banners and people came up and were like, RTOZ? It's like, yeah. So anyway, my volunteers arrived, and then we sort of split them up and asked them to go around the park to find the people who've been waiting. And I think it was like maybe about 10 minutes later, and Bo, Justin's best friend, was on the phone to Justin, who was getting stuff from Coles down the road. And he was on my phone. And I leaned down to put something in my bag. I don't know. For some reason, I was crouching. And as I got up, I looked over. And this park is humongous. It is absolutely huge. And so I've stood up. And as I look over the field, I can just see these people spread out along, you know, this entire paddock type, you know, scenario thing. And they're all holding, all I can see is like the orange. And obviously that's, you know, their Nerf guns. And they're just coming towards me. And I think I just stood there going, holy shit, do I run? Like, have I really done this? This is incredible. Because there's so everywhere. Oh my god, it was kind of inspiring in a sense to think that that many people would want to be a part of it, and they'd all come so early. Obviously they were there on time and I didn't collect them in time. It was really, really awesome just to see that. And I had sort of, because I wasn't organizing Nerf for myself, that was a humans versus zombie thing, I'd had almost completely forgotten that I'd asked them to bring Nerf guns, so it was kind of like, wow, a lot more people wanted to participate in this than I thought, and so many people did. I think that was another thing that I was really, you know, pleased about, is that we had the Nerf wars, because it sort of got everybody interacting with one another, and I think it was just a really great way for people to sort of make friends and just have a blast. You know, it's not something you get to do, run around an entire field shooting Nerf darts at each other. It's not something you get to do every day, so I think that was really cool.
I would also like to interject at that point that I still maintain that I won that game of Human versus Zombies.
I had a couple of girls run to me and go, we won because we were hiding in the trees and no one got us.
Really?
I have a story about the Human versus Zombies thing. You know Smoking Bacon on the site? I chased him for a good, like, 5-10 minutes, and we went to the, I'm not sure exactly. I'm pretty sure there were toilet blocks behind sort of the barbecue.
Yeah.
The motherfucker had climbed on the roof of this goddamn toilets thing, as I saw, because I ran around the side, and then I, like, changed direction to come around the other side and meet him, and then he never came around, so I was like, oh, what's his sneaky bugger up to? And yeah, he'd actually climbed onto the roof. I saw him. I was like, well, yeah, two could play that game. I climbed up on the roof as well, and then he climbed into the tree branch that was against the roof, and like, well, I was like, where are you going to go? That's, like, you can't go anywhere from there. And I think it was Treb climbed up the tree, like the other side of the tree, and he was standing on the other side of the tree. I'm standing on the roof. Smoking Bacon's in the middle. And I think we pretty much just sat like that for about 5 minutes before we got sick of it. And I decided to just leave. And I left, and I don't know what happened. I think I snuck up on Nelly and tried to get him, but I failed. But then also, after a lot more people had been zombified, and there was probably like one or two guys left, one guy had like a fully automatic Nerf gun thing, and there was like 100 of us zombies swarming him.
Yeah, I saw that.
He was
that
about
was
to be
epic.
Screwed.
Yeah, that was really cool.
It was so epic, and then he was just like, cut, like, he just sort of yelled at us, was like, come at me, bro, whatever he said, like, sort of, like, we all just, as soon as he said that, we all just bolted him. It was like a movie moment. I wish it was caught on camera, because that was just so cool, so, like, atmospheric. And
yeah,
took down a good, like, 25 of us zombies with that freaking gun as well before someone finally got him. But it was just, it was so awesome. It looked awesome. I loved it.
Yeah.
By that point, I was, like, dead tired and wanted to just lie down in the wet grass. So
yeah.
After he killed me, I just gave up and walked away.
See, I was with Hayden at that point, and we saw that happen, and we were just like, oh, fuck that, we're out of here. And we just ran.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, I'm pretty sure Tim was like yelling at us zombies that gave up to go and get you, Sean. And I was like, no, fuck that. I'm going to go lie down.
Sorry, Ainsley.
Yeah, speaking of come at me, bro, it was on the Saturday, I think. And you know how at the exhibitions, well, I mean, Armageddon specifically, I don't know about other things, that they usually have a, like, remote control or whatever, Dalek, just
yeah.
going around
oh,
the expo
yeah.
and interacting with people and everything. And I think I was talking to Ree after I had had lunch with Harley and Ivy, and I had my back to, you know, whatever was behind me, and I was talking to her, and then she goes, Ainsley, and I heard, like, the Dalek talking to me, and I turned around, and it's trying to get through, and it's, like, move out of the way or something, and saying something to me, and I'm, like, I just looked at it, and I'm, like, come at me, bro, and she's, like, I can't believe you just said, come at me, bro, with Dalek.
Nice.
And I was, like, yeah, because
oh
that's how I roll.
The guy just replied, I remember that, the guy replied with, you are angering me, so that you stepped away after a few more moments of staring at it, and when it was just sort of walking away, and at this point, like, there's a group of people watching what's happening, because they heard you yell, like, come at me, bro. So as this Dalek's moving away, the guy inside it just, it was, you know, followed that statement up with, Daleks do not have feelings!
I can't believe you remembered that, I'd forgotten all of that, except for, come at me, bro!
That reminds me, it must have been the same Dalek, but I was hanging out with Cherie and Kim at Kim's booth, and there was like a group of like 7 or 8 cosplaying chicks that were really hot, and the Dalek was like going past them or something with like his followers that were with him, and because he had followers, obviously, Dalek. And I think he got sort of like mixed up in amongst the cosplayers who were taking photos and whatever, and then they all decided to just take a photo around him just like spontaneously, and the Dalek was all saying how like the situation is like he said something like, this situation is marvelous, so I am enjoying this situation quite a lot, and like he lifted up like one of the arms as if he got a hard on.
And,
it was hilarious photo. We all just laughed so hard, it was funny. I didn't want to say boner because that's Jeff's favorite word, I didn't want to sort of steal it.
Oh, nice.
I think he would approve.
Just before we get off the topic of RTOZ, I have one more one. I think from a coordinator perspective, like, you have to understand, RTOZ for me was largely from a coordinator perspective. So I didn't get to, I mean, I did, I think I bowled twice or three times, and then I said to Rattles, I've got to go, you know, you keep bowling for me. I didn't do skirmish. I had water, whatever Ainsley put under
either.
My face, I drank until people started buying me alcohol, and then I drank that at the end of the night.
I have a funny story about that.
Yeah, that's for a bit later. And then, you know, like everything I did was largely from an organizational perspective. So I think one of the things that I enjoyed the most from setting aside from that was having Slayer over. So Hunter, aka Slayer, came over from America to be in Australia.
Woo-hoo!
For RTOZ. Yeah, and what was the best, it was incredible timing that Slayer actually turned 18 on Saturday night of RTOZ. So we got to
like
celebrate his 18th birthday on this incredible party night for, you know, his favorite online community. And I just thought, what a birthday present to give him legal, for him to turn the legal drinking age in our country and spend it getting drunk with the Rooster Teeth staff. Like, I just thought that that was, that really made me happy that we could sort of do that for
That
this,
is
like,
really
so.
awesome.
I remember that moment when you decided to turn that into like a huge group celebration because, it was like you, Hunter, and I were talking with somebody else. I think it was Danny W Boy, and Hunter mentioned the fact that he just turned 18 to Danny, and Danny was just kind of like, really? And then like as soon as Danny reacted to that, I look out of the corner of my eye and you've just suddenly turned around and started heading out of the VIP lounge to immediately grab the microphone and announce to everybody that he had just turned 18.
Well, I forgot to do it. What happened? I had an entire speech written out. Justin, well, actually, it's my fault. I forgot the book originally, then asked Justin to bring it with him on the second day. He forgot it. So there's a picture of me writing in a notebook on Ainsley's Facebook, and that's my dot points that I had. Yeah, so because the event ran so far behind, I didn't have time to do the introduction the way that I wanted to originally do it. So I forgot to mention that it was Slayer's birthday, which is what I wanted to do originally at the beginning of the night. So I'd forgotten because I was so flustered that I, hadn't done it. So when he reminded me, I was like, I've got to do this now before everybody goes home so they can get drunk. So I had a limited space of time to do it. No. But no, I think that was sort of him turning 18 on that night was probably one of the best things.
I mean, either way, it worked out pretty well because just that reaction in my mind of just you immediately turning around and just sort of like sharply walking away, it was just kind of like this evil genius moment.
I got it. I got
I had fun in the decorator when I was setting up because like people start showing up and then they'd go ask Katie what to do when I'm just like decorating my
And I'd
own
just be
business,
like,
and then
go see Eddie.
they're like, Ainsley, Katie said you're the boss of decorating. Tell us what to do, and I'm like, Ma, minion, yes, lovely.
No, that's right. I think I got in there with like, hey, what do we need to do? We need this, 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 and this. Ainsley, take care of it. I think it was sort of it was really good that I could run people to do that. That I could sort of just go, okay, I'm gonna delegate you with this and you with this. Actually, in saying that, I really can't get over how impressed I am with Wilco because Josh, I hadn't spoken to Wilco 383 on the site. Josh, I hadn't spoken to him properly in months, probably since we talked in February at Armageddon, and he really wanted to volunteer. He'd been really active with the logo and whatnot, and so I said, okay, hey, if you're really interested, you can run the Xbox comps. And I think he had a death in his family, and so he had to take, there was like a lot of time that we didn't speak in regards to that. And
I'd like
so.
to quickly point out, well, with Wilco, that he ran to the store, the closest store, whatever, in the rain, and picked up batteries for the controllers, the Xbox comp as well. So that's
Oh.
pretty, like he came
He.
and he was soaking wet and had like the perfect amount of batteries, and it was awesome. And back in like 5 minutes as
He
well, it was awesome.
champion effort.
He was incredible. Like Justin had set up, like you guys had all set up the Xboxes. Justin had worked out what the comps were going to be like, how they were going to run. And I know we had a lot of trouble with the Xboxes and the projector screen and setting everything up. That was just a huge rigmarole. But when we came
Yeah,
in,
go.
Justin literally handed him a piece of paper and said, "This is how it's going to run. Go for it." And he so diligently throughout the entire night ran the Xbox comps, and he did such a great job. Like I was absolutely blown away. I didn't even have to ask or like find out anything that was going on with the Xbox competitions, anything that was going on with Guitar Hero. It was just so brilliant that I literally stepped into the VIP room only to get my bag, for whatever reason. I didn't even have to have anything to do with it. It was just so great that he just took care of it like that. I was absolutely blown away.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome of him to take care of it all. I was surprised as well. Like
Yeah.
he the whole time as well, like taking photos and keeping track of everything that was happening and like
Yeah.
organizing it so well and had like rules, well not so much rules, but guidelines of like say, hey,
Yeah.
when you start the game, like everyone has to change their preferences or whatever in order of like whatever and set up colors and everything for like team or whatever. It was like organized well.
He was really into it. He's like, here, smile for
Yeah.
the photos, do this, do that, well done, guys. Okay, next round. Like, I was just, oh, it was incredible. Like, I really can't get over it. And I can't express how much I appreciate, the initiative that he took on the night, especially like that I hadn't spoken to him or even given him any direction at all personally. I was really blown away.
I do have another favorite moment from the convention if you guys want to hear it.
Yep, go ahead.
All right,
let's hear it.
Okay, so I'm sure a few of you listening, I'm assuming, will know Tim Strutter on the website. People on TeamSpeak.
Whoa. Should we announce a PG rating or a friend one on TV18?
No.
Please switch off. No, I'm kidding.
Hey now. Well, speaking of Tim, it was his birthday the other day as well, so he's now 21. And and elderly women, like, you know, cougars, can now take advantage of him without feeling guilty because he's completely legal.
No longer statutory rape.
Because more people are going to be chasing cougars, and it's definitely a thing that he
is doing. No, but they will be chasing him.
He will rob them with warm reception and no warm reception whatsoever. That's exactly what happened.
We love you, Jim.
We do love him. Anyway, so people who go on TeamSpeak will know that I like to, I take a sick pleasure in sort of making Tim feel really nervous by hitting on him a lot. So we had
it's hilarious, too.
It is quite amusing.
doesn't have quite
Poor
the same
guy.
When I do it, though, for some reason. I don't know what that is.
I wonder why. I mean, that's just a mystery, right? So I've been talking to Night Wolf about it, and I was like, I think I have a plan for RTOs to make him really nervous. And there's a scene from The Mask where Cameron Diaz is trying to sort of distract Jim Carrey, and she hits on him by sort of leaning forward, you know, and playing with his tie that he's got around his neck and saying, oh, this tie reminds me of this Rorschach test, you know, the ink blots and everything. And she does this, like, sort of bang the eyelashes routine, and I thought, hey, wouldn't that be good? Because I'd done that to someone before, and it was quite successful. I can totally get a tie on Tim and reenact that. Night Wolf was like, hell yes, we have to do it. So
yeah, I just immediately said, I'm going to give him my tie.
and on the Saturday night when I was wearing my slinky dress, I forgot to do it. So Sean made sure to put the tie back on him on the Sunday, and I did the routine, and Tim couldn't even look at me. And then when I went to say something to him afterwards, he stepped back and wouldn't touch him and ran away. So that was quite amusing. I know, horrible, right? But I think that's one of my favorite moments.
I remember what she said, like, really the second time to, like, you following up and just freaking him out, because Tim said he was going to go over to Kim's table, and so Ainsley just said, oh, is that because Kim's not going to hit on you? And, like, as she's saying this, she's, like, slowly stepping forward, and Tim just sort of just looks at her for a second and then just, you know, does this double take and jumps away and quietly says yes.
It's really funny.
So yeah, he's now a man.
He's now a man.
We're horrible, but he loves it.
Oh, it was so funny. Actually, I remember something funny that I just mentioned to Sean just before. Is when I just in regards to the Back to the Future reference, I thought I would bring this up. Kim, I helped him set up. Kim only had a little like a table, an exhibitor's table, so to speak. So it didn't take that long to set up. So I was kind of just like looking around the expo, which, by the way, the difference between an expo while it's setting up and an expo after it's been set up is incredible. It kind of takes the fun out of it a bit because all you see is pallets and wood and dust and rubbish everywhere. It's incredible. And eventually they, you know, like the Back to the Future store was nearly finished. It was one of the only stores that was actually nearly done. And Kim's like, yeah, the Back to the Future car is, I just saw it being loaded in and it's being put by the stall there. And he told me what it was called, but for the life of me, I couldn't remember. So the next day when I saw Sean, Nightwolf, I was like, hey, guess what? Because I knew how much he liked Back to the Future. I was like, that car from Back to the Future is, you know, that one that drives fast, which was my first mistake.
Oh my God.
It wasn't even that. It wasn't that you said the car that drives fast. It says, you know, that car that flies.
Flies. Anyway, and then I was like, yeah. Oh, what's it called? Grenadine. It's the Grenadine, right? Because I just bought Grenadine. I don't even know why I said it. But I was like, the Grenadine. You know the Grenadine?
Because you're
and
Katie,
Sean just
that's
looked
why.
At me. Because I'm Katie. And Sean just looked at me and he just goes, the DeLorean? I was like, yeah, that must be it. Why did I think Grenadine? Oh, my God. It was hilarious.
I'm sure.
Are you trying to tell me that you made a time machine out of a grenadine? Oh wait.
I'm sure in that point in time, Haiti, just something compelled me to put my finger on my nose and just lie to myself about you.
Wait. Hold up. What is that? The whole finger on your nose thing.
The short story is, I was at Katie's house one time. She did something stupid. I can't remember what it was. And I just sort of looked at her and slowly
and
put my finger on my nose and tapped it as if, like, I'm realizing the stupid thing you've just done, and I'm just not saying anything about it. I'm just acknowledging
it. Yeah, sure. So now every time I do something stupid, which is a lot of the time, let's face it, Sean just goes, Katie, my finger's on my nose.
I can't wait for the next, like, Sydney street team gathering, because that's just going to be, like, a scene from the movie The Sting, where, like, everybody's just going to, at once, like, in a chain reaction, touch their noses with the tip of their finger and whatnot, as if they're, like, signaling each other for a con.
I think mostly whenever that happened in Texas, when we said that, I never even put my finger on my nose. I just looked at her, I'm like, Katie. My fingers on my nose, and she's like, oh, damn it!
She's like, oh. Actually, I was expecting, I don't know, Sean, I think Sean did do it. I can't really remember that. When, because I was running around at the Saturday night of RTOZ, the panel was just about to start, and I was running around because we were so far behind on schedule, and I was really freaking out. Everyone else was like, fine, whatever, they didn't realize. But I was freaking out because I was, you know, under pressure from the people who, the venue manager, and just the schedule in general, the microphone was playing up at that stage, and I was really worried, which turned out crappy anyway. That's right. It makes for good stories. But as I was running, well, I wasn't really running. I was walking very fast across the lane, because the way we had the panel was facing out, like the table was nearly on the lane. The bowling lane is facing out to where everyone sits when they're not bowling. And I was running, walking fast to the table, and I stacked it on the big things that pump out the bowling balls, and I nearly face planted, and everyone was like, whoa, because everyone was there waiting for the panel to start. There was 150 people just staring at me, and I've fallen over. Well, I didn't actually fall, but I really hurt myself, and so I just like kind of steadied myself up and just bowed to them. And I thought that was really funny, but I can't remember if Sean was next to me going, Katie, my finger's on my nose. It seems like something you would do, but
I did not see that, but I'm sure my finger was on my
You didn't see it.
I did not see that. You're lucky.
It was great. I've always wanted to fall over, get up and bow. So I think that I can cross that off my list now, because everyone cheered for me. It was great.
You should try me for a week.
You've fallen over and bowed and everyone clapped. You can die now. Your life is complete. It's done.
That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah,
exactly.
My other favorite moment from RTR is like one of the, it's up there on that list. was just when Bernie showed up on the night of the barbecue right at the end, and he started taking prank calls, and it was just hysterical.
And he called my mother.
Yes.
probably the best call was to Ainsley's mom. I've got to admit, that was hilarious.
Like, oh yeah, you're the first one I've called.
I missed it.
I'm all out of mom jokes now, so I'm just going to proceed to hit on you.
Yeah.
So how are you doing?
Yeah, that was easy mom. Like...
Oh my goodness. Somebody told me that. I forget who it was. I think maybe Arvin? Oh man, that's funny. I didn't realize his mom it was too, though.
Yeah, I rang my mom to put him onto, and she didn't answer the phone, so he left a message saying that he was Gavin Free and something else, blah, blah, blah. I don't know.
He said was, hello, this is Gavin Free. I work for the security detail for the Queen, and who's visiting this weekend. We were just calling you up because we did a random selection for who we'd like to have the Queen visit this weekend, but seeing that you didn't answer your phone, we're going to call somebody else.
Yeah. And then, like 5 minutes later, after someone else's mom, my mom had actually rung me because she got the message and was like, "What the hell's going on?" So I was like, "Bernie, here's my mom." And then I give him the phone, and he goes, "Hello, is this Sean's mom?" And she must have said like yes or something. And he goes, "Well, you missed your turn," and hung up on her.
Oh my god!
Yeah, mom was pissed at me. She was like texting me afterwards, like, what the hell was that? What is going on? Who was ringing me? I don't understand what's going on. And I said, well, this is Bernie. He was just like calling everyone's moms and whatever. And he's like, she was like, where's Sarge? I want to talk to Sarge. He's better.
I texted my mom before the phone call to make sure she was still awake, and she's like, yeah, we're just watching TV. I was like, oh, because the director of Red vs. Blue's here, and she's like, oh, that's nice. Had no idea. And then I got him to call, and he was like, is that Ainsley's mother? And I was like, yay! She thought it was hilarious. Oh, she loved it. It was really funny when they had the laughter going in the background. I couldn't hear anything. I'm like, yeah, that was real people at that wasn't canned laughter, mother.
Did you think it was like a radio soundboard thing?
I don't know. I probably.
if he'd have rung my mom would have abused him for waking her up. What do you think this is? Who are you? Why are you with my daughter? What's going on?
Yeah, that's why she was here first.
What did she say? Red vs. Blue? Is that what you are?
From the sign.
Yeah, that's terrible.
On the booth where, yeah. Mm.
I loved it.
I didn't actually notice that until going through the photos afterwards.
Oh, what? Oh, God.
I was like, oh, yeah, I can see Siren. Red V's blue. What the fuck is this shit?
Yeah. Oh, God.
That's the thing about the event in general is, sorry, Sean, I'll just really quickly say.
It's okay. Go ahead.
Is the support that I got from Siren. From the beginning, had sort of said, you know, what you're doing is really great and, you know, we really support it. Here's some free DVDs. I think that was really, really cool of them to do, is to sort of see us as a legitimate association as such, or organization that we are in a way, I don't make it sound like, you know, we're porn stars or anything, but we are servicing the community, if that makes sense, by enabling them to attend events and meet the staff and, you know, hang out with each other, meet people from the website. And Siren sort of acknowledged that, and they realized that what we're doing is really cool. So their support from the event at Armageddon as well, because like they were really good to me at Expo and even in Auckland, like they're just really, really cool guys. So I think meeting them and sort of solidifying a relationship between Rooteeth and Siren Visual was, you know, really, really awesome.
I was just going to tie up before, like, with what Bernie said to Ainsley's mother over the phone. Like, first off, though, was just, like, he introduced himself, and she obviously recognized him and said, yes, that's right, Ainsley came to see us in Texas earlier this year. What did she tell you about that, by the way? Oh, she had a good time, did she? Oh, well, let me tell you a different story.
Yeah.
That was it.
Oh, my God. That was the line that made everyone laugh like hell.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Did he follow up?
No, like, not really. From there, we just kind of, you know, he got cut off with this sort of uproarious laughter and then said, yes, that's right, you got the international, you know, customs-approved version of the story.
Nice. He's really funny.
Yeah, he was surprisingly good at ad-libbing.
Oh my goodness,
that was
brilliant. When he arrived at the Cube, because of the whole rigmarole, he arrived really late, as a lot of people know, and he got there, and Justin had been at the barbecue from the second he got there to the second we left. Like, I think he took me to the bathroom once, because it was really dark, and I didn't have a torch or anything.
Oh no! So he took me to the bathroom was as well before that as well when it was daylight. I was like, "That's the bathroom over there." Go.
Oh, okay. So there you go. He went to the toilet twice.
Went to the toilet twice.
The entire night. Twice. Okay. Over the entire night, he cleaned the barbecue, cooked on the barbecue for however many people it was. It was like 60 plus people. Ended up being, and then he cleaned the barbecue again. And so when Bernie got there, I sent Ainsley to go and asked to go and get Bernie, because I knew that Bernie knew Ainsley and that, you know, she'd go and get him anyway. So she brought him back. I said hi to Bernie, and then I was like, before you do anything, I really want you to meet my partner, who's been on the barbecue all night. He's been so diligent, and if you could say hi to him first, I'd really appreciate that. So he pushed us through the crowd, because everyone had kind of just gathered around the barbecue, because that's sort of where the light was, and everyone was just kind of chatting. And Justin didn't even look up. He was just drinking, cleaning the barbecue. And then all of a sudden, a hand reaches across the barbecue, and he goes, hey, Justin, how you going? I'm Bernie. And Justin's like, yeah, hey, what's up? Looks up and goes, screams in his face, and Benny just stood there. He was like totally fine with it. I couldn't believe it. I just got, oh my god.
Did he scream, or was it, am
he
I
screamed in his face.
Like, am I remembering it wrong? I remember him standing there looking up at Bernie and going, hey, what's up? Looking down at the barbecue, then looking back up and going, fuck!
Yeah, he just yelled. Maybe I just, right in his face. Bernie didn't even flinch. He just stood there and he was like, okay, yeah, he gets this all the time.
I'm sure he gets that, like, gets that N word.
I reckon.
Sure. Yeah. That
it was just
it,
so
like,
funny.
I was talking with Cherie, Matt Corey, and Squidge and stuff, too, like literally like a meter and a half away from the barbecue. And I just sort of looked over there and saw like 60 plus people are just gathered around the barbecue. I'm like, what the hell's going on? And I walked into the group. I walked
the Bernie beacon.
Like, I cut through and was literally in front of Bernie. Like, he was talking, and I think I asked someone. I was like, what's going on? Why is everyone here? And they're like,
Bernie
is right there. I should have tapped Bernie on the shoulder and been like, what's going on? Why is everyone here?
I realized, oh shit.
I went back and told like who I was hanging out with that Bernie. I was like, "You do realize Bernie's right there, right?" And then they just sort of ran into the group like I had before. Due to an excessive amount of awesomeness, this podcast will be split into two parts.
Stay tuned for part two of the Ozcast podcast episode 5.